Our first reading this morning will come from the book of Exodus. We'll be reading from Exodus 5, 1 through 9. It's found on page 51 of your pew Bible, so let us listen to God's word for us. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, so that they may celebrate a festival to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should heed him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has revealed himself to us. Let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness to sacrifice to the Lord our God, or he will fall upon us with pestilence or sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their work? Get to your labors." Pharaoh continued, "Now they are more numerous than the people of the land, and yet you want them to stop working." That same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people, as well as their supervisors, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, but you shall require of them the same quantity of bricks as they have made previously. Do not diminish it, for they are lazy. That is why they cry, 'Let us go and offer sacrifice to our God.' Let heavier work be laid on them. Then they will labor at it and pay no attention to deceptive words." Our second reading is also from the book of Exodus. We'll be reading from chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. "Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it." It's the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. O Christ, my rock and my redeemer, in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If it's possible to have a favorite commandment, the fourth commandment is mine. I think I like it because it's the longest commandment of the ten. But it's also the bridge between the first three commandments that concerns our responsibilities to God and the last six commandments that concerns our responsibilities to our neighbors. So it's an important commandment. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. That's the word that the Lord gives to Moses to give to the people on Mount Sinai this morning. Few things can be said from the very beginning about this fourth commandment, this Sabbath commandment. First of all, this commandment is about God. It's about remembering God and finding time for God in our lives. As a society, we've become preoccupied with busyness. We are a people who are constantly on the move, people to see, places to go, and not enough time. Not enough time even for God. We have time for everything else, time for work, time for the internet, time for sporting events, time for shopping, but we don't have time for God, at least not as a society. But the fourth commandment tells us to remember, to hallow out some time from our busyness so that we might worship God. We are a society, of course, that is proud of our busyness. Busyness for many of us is a kind of status. We take pride in it. But I'm inclined to believe that if we are too busy to find time to worship God, that God may see to it that we have the time, that we find the time to worship Him. Sometimes, you know, we talk about not having time to worship God, or we talk about not having time to go to church because we're just too busy. We have other things to do. But if we don't make time for God, God perhaps will help us to find the time to worship Him. Maybe that job that was the source of our busyness, maybe one day we wake up and that job is not there, and we find out that we have time, all the time that we need. Or maybe the help that we have taken for granted, the help that allows us to do all of our busy activities, maybe one day we wake up and that help is no longer there, and we find that we have time, all the time that we need to worship the Lord and to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. And so I'm not speaking dogmatically here because I don't know. I'm not saying that this is what God does, but sometimes when we don't make time for God, perhaps God will help us to find the time that we need to devote ourselves to God. So this commandment is, first of all, this Sabbath commandment is about God. It's about remembering God. It's about finding time to worship God. But secondly, this Sabbath commandment, this fourth commandment, is also about rest. Because God is a God of rest. That's what the Bible tells us. 6 days the Lord created the world. 6 days the Lord made the sun and the moon and the earth and the mountains and the sea and everything in it. And then on the seventh day, God rested. God actually took the day off. And I used to think that this meant that maybe God got a little tired. God needed some R&R. God needed to take some time at the shore maybe. But it's not so much that God was tired, but it's that God created the world, and then God provided time for God to delight in God's handiwork. That's what it means for God to rest, for God to spend time and delight in the handiwork of creation. And so the Bible tells us that God rests on the seventh day. That's what the Sabbath means. It means to stop. It means to desist. It means to cease all of your activities and to rest. And that's what God is telling His people this morning in this fourth commandment. He is telling them that they too need to rest, that they need to find time from their labors and to rest and refresh themselves. And not just them, not only are they are to rest, but their servants are to rest, and their livestock is to rest, and the land is to rest, and even the resident aliens in their midst, the immigrants who have come to be among them to do the dirty labor work, they too are to rest. The commandment says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, keep it apart, keep it as a day of rest for everyone. Now, there was a time in our country not terribly long ago when we took this commandment seriously. Not only did we dedicate Sunday to worshiping God, sometimes being in church all day, but Sunday was also a day of rest. We didn't engage in any buying and selling, didn't engage in any producing or consuming. It was a day of rest, a day dedicated to the Lord. Some of you might remember when that time was so, but all of that changed. In the book Resident Aliens, the theologian Will Willimon recalls how the world changed for him on a Sunday evening in 1963. That was the evening when the Fox Theater in Greenville, North Carolina, in defiance of the blue laws that decreed that everything would be closed on Sundays, opened its doors and started showing movies for the first time on Sunday evenings. And Willimon recalled that up until that time, the church was the only game in town. People came to church in the morning and they stayed in church late until the evening, and was often there in the in-between times. But on that Sunday evening in 1963, the church suddenly had competition. And being teenagers at the time, Willimon noted that he and his friends made a pact that they would show up at the beginning of the church service so that they would be seen by the elders, but then they would sneak out the back door and go to the movies. Of course, a lot has changed in those 50 years. Today, the church has all kinds of competition, not just on Sunday evenings, but also on Sunday mornings as well. I heard a pastor not long ago complain about the encroachment of Little League sports on the Sunday worship hour. Children have become so preoccupied and busy that Sundays are the only days for organized sports, forcing parents to choose between Sunday school and soccer practice. And then, of course, there's work. Today, people have to work on Sundays, not just the essential personnel like nurses and doctors and hospital staff, but increasingly people who work in restaurants and shopping malls and retail outlets and grocery stores and, yes, movie theaters. We've become a 24/7 society where Sunday is just another day to make a buck, another day to engage in the hustle and bustle of the rat race. But the word of the Lord in our fourth commandment this morning is to remember. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. For the Israelites, the Sabbath was the seventh day of the week. It was on that day that they were to do no work, no labor. Sometimes they got a little too legalistic with it. They got a little too carried away. They forgot that the Sabbath was made for human beings and not human beings for the Sabbath. But they seriously tried to carve out that day, the seventh day, to remember the Sabbath, to remember God, to remember to rest as God had rest in the beginning of creation. But the Sabbath was not just a weekly thing. It was a way of life. It was much broader than one day out of the week. According to the book of Leviticus, every seventh year was to be a Sabbath year. The land was to rest for the whole year. There was to be no planting, no plowing, no working of the land at all. No one was to work. Not the servants, not the livestock, not the immigrants. The whole year was to be a Sabbath. The people were to live off of what grew naturally from the ground, and not only were they to live off of it, but also the poor and the resident aliens in their midst. It was to be a Sabbath for the land. The land was to rest. And after every 49th year, that is, after every seventh Sabbath year, it was to be a jubilee. Not only was the land to rest, but debts were to be forgiven. Slaves were to be set free. Prisoners were to be released. Land that had been appropriated and sold, usually because of indebtedness, was to be returned to its original owners. It was to be called the year of the Lord's favor, a time when everything was to be refreshed and renewed and restored to God's original purpose. Because that's who God is. God is a God of rest. That was the Sabbath vision. It is a vision of life that is rooted and grounded in God's rest. And because it is rooted and grounded in God's rest, it is diametrically opposed to all of those frantic visions of busyness that is rooted and grounded in having more, especially when it means ruining people, ruining their lives and running resources and animals into the ground. God calls us to rest away from the hustle and the bustle of our 24/7 workaday world, where people are used up and resources are used up and people are simply cogs in a machine, people who are available or made available 24/7. But God says to rest. Remember the Sabbath. You are to rest. Take some time for God. Take some time for rest, because God is a God of rest. There's no evidence, of course, that the Israelites ever seriously observed this broader understanding of the Sabbath. In fact, one of the reasons that we are told that Judah is held captive by Babylon and is taken from the land is because they failed to maintain the Sabbath. They failed to let the land rest. And so the Lord said, if you do not let the land rest, then I will take it from you, and the land will get its rest. The land and the people who you've worked to death, the land and the people who you subjected to your constant busyness, they will find their rest. And that is exactly what happened. The Lord took the land from the people for 70 years so that the land could rest. There's a few things, of course, that we need to say about this fourth commandment. A few things that bear relevance for us today. First of all, this fourth commandment, like all the other commandments, was a gift. It was a gift to the children of Israel. Sometimes we think of commandments and laws and rules as burdens, but this was a gift to the people. You'll remember that they were slaves in Egypt. And because they were slaves in Egypt, the chances were pretty good that they didn't have any time for themselves. No time for rest, no time for their families, no time to worship God. In fact, Pharaoh in Egypt was God. And Pharaoh was not a god of rest, but Pharaoh was a god of more. More grain, more silos, more bricks, more work, more, produce. Produce, that was Pharaoh's mantra. Pharaoh was addicted to more. And when you are addicted to more, you don't have time to rest. You don't have time to rest for yourself, and you don't have time for anyone else to rest. And so when Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh and ask him to let the people go to worship God, Pharaoh says, no, get back to work. There's no time for that. No time for rest. No time for God. There's only time for bricks, for more bricks. Make more bricks. Because Pharaoh was not a god of rest. But the Lord liberated the people from all of that. The Lord liberated them and gave them this wonderful gift. A rhythm and a pattern of life that was predicated not on having more, but was predicated on remembering. Remembering that God is a God of rest. And because God is a God of rest, they too were called to rest. Today, of course, we don't have a Pharaoh cracking a whip over our heads, but many of us are enslaved nonetheless. We are enslaved by our busyness. We are enslaved by our schedules. We are enslaved by our wants and our desires. We are enslaved by those deep-seated anxieties that tell us that the way to have security is that we have to have more and more. And so we are a people who are restless. We are a people who are on the move, a people who are on the go, a people who don't have time, a people who will crowd out even God's time and crowd out our rest. But the good news of the fourth commandment is not just for the Israelites, but it's for us as well. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Take some time to set apart for God, and also for yourselves. Take the time to rest. The fourth commandment, like the other commandments, is also about trust. It's about having radical trust in God. We can trust that God will provide for us. We don't have to be our own God. We don't have to be at the center of everything. We don't have to deny ourselves rest. Some people are like that. I know some people who believe that they can't take any time off. They can't take any kind of vacation because they are afraid that if they leave, everything will fall apart and they have to be in the middle of it. They have to be on top of things. They have to be in control. They have to have their hand in everything because if they're not there, it'll fall apart. But the fourth commandment calls us to have radical trust in a God who is in control. Even when we rest, in control of our lives, in control of our families, in control of all of our world. And so we can rest in the assurance that God is in control. We can trust God is with us and trust that God is behind and in control of the world. When we trust God, when we trust God enough to rest, when we trust God enough to slow down, we can begin to enjoy that life that God desires for all of us, a life of renewal, a life of refreshment, a life of rest. I love the story from the Jewish tradition of a man who was running down the street, and a rabbi hollered after him, "Where are you going? Why are you running?" And the man said, "I'm running for my good fortune. I'm in a hurry to go catch my good fortune." And the rabbi said, "Silly man, your good fortune has been trying to catch up to you. But you've been running too fast to receive it." And that's like many of us. We're so busy running, so busy subjecting ourselves to this world, the hustle and bustle of our world, that we fail to take the time to listen, fail to take the time to remember what is holy, fail to take the time to hollow out for God, fail to take the time to rest. But the fourth commandment, like all the other commandments, is also about identity. It's about performing those practices that affirm who we are and whose we belong to. We live in a world that wants to see us as primarily consumers and producers. That's who the world tells us we are. We are primarily consumers and producers. That's what the television set tells us 24/7 through advertisements, that we are consumers, we got to consume, or we are producers, we got to produce. We consume in order to produce, and we produce in order to consume. But we are reminded through this fourth commandment that we are not consumers and we are not producers, that we are children of God. And as children of God, we are commanded to rest because God is a God of rest. Now, when I was in West Philadelphia, there was a large percentage of my congregation who could not come to church on Sunday. Sunday was not their day of rest. They couldn't come because they worked in either the healthcare profession or they worked in some of the other service sector occupations and were not able to come to church on Sunday. And a large percentage of the American workforce are a part of those sectors where Sunday is not a day of rest. I don't think that we'll ever return to a situation where Sunday is a day of rest like it was prior to 1963. And that's okay because Sunday was never designed to be a Sabbath, a day of rest. Sunday in the early Christian tradition was always the Lord's Day. It was the first day of the week. It was the day that many Christians came together to worship God. Many of the early Christians had to work. They worked all day, and then at the end of the day, they came together, usually in someone's home, and they worshiped together, and then they had a meal. They shared a meal together in anticipation of the heavenly banquet. And then the next day, it was another day of work. But that doesn't mean because Sunday is not a day of rest that Jesus does away with the Sabbath. Jesus doesn't do away with the Sabbath. He doesn't do away with the law. Rather, he comes to fulfill it. And that's what Jesus is for us today. He is our rest. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." The Sabbath that Jesus comes to bring us is not just rest for one day of the week, but it's a way of life. The rest that Jesus comes to bring us is rest from our burdens of fear. It is rest from our burdens of anxiety that convince us that we need to be out in the workforce working more and more in order to have things that we believe can secure our lives. The rest that Jesus comes to bring us is rest from the notion that we have to be at the center of everything, that we have to have our hands in everything. The rest that Jesus brings us is the rest knowing that we can place our faith and trust in God and that God will provide for us. The rest that Jesus brings us is the rest that's good news for the poor, good news for the captives, good news for those who are indebted. It's good news for all of us who need rest from this world, rest from this world that beats us down, rest from this world that often marginalizes us, rest from this world that tells us that in order to be someone, we have to have more and more. We have to wear the right clothes. We have to have the right kind of bank account. We have to drive the right kind of car. We have to live in the right kind of neighborhood. We have to have the right kind of job. We have to have the right kind of trophy spouse. It's that rest that Jesus comes to bring us. Rest from all of that. Rest from the burdens of our society, from all the things that we have enslaved ourselves to. Jesus says, "I come to bring you rest. Accept my rest." Jesus says, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I am your rest. And because I am God with you," and that is who God is rest. Remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember to take your rest. Because in doing so, we renew ourselves and restore ourselves and refresh ourselves to be the people that God has called us to be. To the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Eternal God, you have called us to freedom. You have called us to be your people. You have given us your commandments so that we can do that. We ask, Lord, that you help us to remember to take our rest. And help us to remember the wonderful gift that you have given us, the gift of assembling together on this day to worship and to praise your holy name. Send us out into the world. Send us out into this world refreshed. Send us out into this world renewed. Send us out into this world with a new sense of your purpose. Send us out into this creation so that we might delight in the handiwork of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died so that we might have life and have it in abundance. Help us to proclaim the good news of your rest in all that we do. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.